Hey, this is Glynis Pruitt, owner of Comic Book Hideout, and you are listening to the Sneaky Geek Podcast, episode number 24, 25, 26, 27, one of those, some episode. You're listening to an episode. You're about to listen to it right now. Listen away.
It's actually episode 23.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really happy about it. Okay, hey guys, this is Bryce again, and this is Brian Romero.
Hey!
And we are here with Nick.
Colonies, like the 13 colonies.
Colonies.
Yeah.
Nick Colonies. Nick here has...
I ambushed you.
Has ambushed us. We were just done with our Ming Chen interview, and he was like, hey, can I tell you about something super freaking cool and dope?
And he looked at me like, this is not going to be super cool and dope, but I guess...
And then it was super cool and dope.
Well, thank you.
It really was.
I appreciate it, guys. Yeah.
Okay. So you want to tell us what you got?
Yes, this is Key Collector Comics. It's a free mobile app on Apple and Android mobile phones. And what it is, it's the world's first database of key issue comic books. So it's a mobile app focused exclusively on first appearances, iconic covers, anything that's valuable, or what I like to say, a milestone moment in comic books, is all isolated on one database. You can catalog what you own, you can catalog what you want. Like you were saying, there are some things that you wanted.
Yeah, right, because I collect New Warriors comics.
You might be the only one.
And I might be the only one. I just really love Nova.
Yeah, Nova's
and
great.
Yeah, and so I was like, I'm gonna look into this. So I start putting it together. I mean, I'm not a huge Thrasher fan, but I'm also a big fan of Nemorita as well.
Yeah.
And so I was talking about it with my buddy Dave, and I was like, yeah, I have issue number one. He's like, yeah, but you have first appearance.
Yes.
Because they first appeared in Thor,
right.
And then their first cover is actually on the cover of Thor.
Let's do a test run here. So yeah. If I go to search characters and I look up New Warriors, and you could look up anybody individually, like Nemorita, so we have 8 key issues, right? Okay, so... We have the Giant Size Defenders because it has Marvel Boy in it, who's in the New Warriors. And then we see the first cameo team appearance.
Boom, Thor.
Right there.
It's Thor 411, and then they 412 is actually the full appearance.
Right.
They're only the last panel.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I got both of those from Steve Wyatt's booth, which is super cool. But, like, I didn't know that was something to even look for until a person who was already an expert on it was there. And so I had to rely on their brain rather than something that was, you know, in my hand to look that up.
And it's super cool. Surprisingly, it works awesome here because most of these convention centers, they always have bad reception for the phone. But how would you find out what your comic book is? Let's say you were looking up New Warriors characters. Would you just Google them?
I would get on the Wikipedia, and I would
get all sorts of random.
It takes forever.
I would fall down that hole, and then 10 minutes later, I'd be like, okay, I know who that is, and I know where they appeared, sort of.
Yeah, right. This now I've cross-referenced everything that I've researched through 3 sources, and if I can't get a consistent answer, I'll go and I'll read the comic book on online. So I'll make sure that this information is correct.
How long were you working on this?
It took me 3 years to build a database.
Wow.
Yeah. When did you get this idea?
Okay, so I was in the basement of a warehouse, and usually those stories don't end up
looking
very good.
Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, the Ark of the Covenant. I was helping out a friend of mine who has this basement warehouse. It has 50,000 comic books in it.
Oh, wow.
I thought I knew a lot. We were just going to pull out the key issues, sell them on eBay, and I thought I knew a lot, and I was going through this stuff, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I wish that there was something that had all the key issues in one place. I looked for it. It was nowhere. And then I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to do it.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And it worked out well. You know, like I said, it's been downloaded in 139 countries, 4.9 out of 5 stars on Apple and on Android. So
with like 291 reviews, I want to say I saw that.
Apple,
and that's just on the Apple side.
Android has over 500 reviews. So
wow,
that's awesome. It's been great. It's been a fun ride. Neil Adams is doing a giveaway of original sketch art on the app right now.
Wow.
Yeah, Alex Ross has done 4 or 5 giveaways, and he's going to continue to do it. Art Germ has done giveaways too. So it's been crazy.
Cause I've like never, a hell of a ride.
I know, because I'm in the liquor industry, and I've never done anything with comics or tech, and then I'm like, I'm going to start an app, like totally Pollyanna-like attitude, and it's working out, you know? So, But man, I appreciate you guys letting me talk.
Yeah. No, I want. We would love for our fans to know about this.
Thank
That'd be
so
that's
yeah,
really
yeah.
really valuable. App. I just downloaded it myself.
It's a free, yeah, it's a free download on iTunes and Google Play. Yeah.
Sweet.
Are we live by this?
We're not live.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So if you get really stuttery.
Real stuttery.
I'll cut it.
Yeah.
All right.
Fix it in post. Yeah.
Okay. Fix it in post.
Right.
So okay. Well, I mean, while I got you here, what's your like white whale comic that you really want?
Oh
now
man,
you've got this whole list. You're like, oh
you
man,
know,
I really want that.
See, I don't really shoot for the stars on the white whale stuff. So like, yeah. Batman 232, Detective 232.
I mean, preaching
like,
to the choir. I'm collecting new warriors, right?
That's a good point. Yeah. I know. I thought I was going to be embarrassed for a second. It turns out I'm in good company. But you know, like, Ra's al Ghul's first appearance is something I want.
Which is solid anyway.
It is solid. That's a Neil Adams cover.
Yeah.
Iron Fist 14, Sabretooth's first appearance would be
right.
awesome to have, you know?
Yeah,
if we're talking real old, like Golden Age, like Clayface would be cool, but I'm a big Batman fan.
Yeah,
know,
I
so,
that.
Yeah, right?
I get that.
So, but Hellboy's first in the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Oh,
Hellboy's
yeah.
first appearance, the Black, well, I think it was a prototype, but still.
Yeah.
Mignola's here too, isn't he? Somewhere today. Just threw you off track on that one. Sorry about that.
No. Oh, you're also in good company.
Yeah. All right. Good call. Good
That's
deal.
That's how we work.
I'm happy about that then.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
But the cool thing about the app, I'll just tell you, we talked about it earlier, but there's a subscription level too. So it's a free app, but there's a subscription if you want extra services. Like, I send out key issue alerts. So if there's a movie announcement, like we've had a lot of announcements today, I've been keeping up with it, and I also get some stuff ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'll send out a push notification that goes directly to your phone before anybody else knows about it. You can go and you could buy it online
check
or wherever.
These issues out
before they get jacked up, you know,
yeah.
before the price raises, so that people love it, you
yeah,
know, if they like that.
Cool.
And then I have all the trending issues, all the hot trending issues.
Yeah.
In one area, I have speculation in another area.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah.
stuff that hasn't, like, I believe that, you know, of course, all these young Avengers characters that have come out that, you
yeah.
know, like Hawkeye, but of course, Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
All those characters, I think that you're going to get those. Yeah,
Stature,
big time. I think you're really going to see a big jump in those issues. And then there's stuff that's a little bit more obscure.
Young Avengers is one of my all-time favorite books.
Yeah,
cool
absolutely.
Stuff,
oh, yeah.
isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so good.
And then the last category is called Dollar Bin Diving. So there's so much stuff out there in dollar bins that are obscure.
Oh, yeah.
That,
but they're great.
That are worth like 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks.
I got Power Man and Iron Fist's first appearance together, like their first cover together, if number 50.
Yeah.
$1.50.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
I found Superman. It was Action Comics number 869. It's a recalled issue where Clark Kent is drinking a beer.
Oh,
do you know what I'm talking
way.
About? I found that in a dollar bin. Okay.
Hell yeah.
So what they did is they recalled that issue where Clark Kent is drinking a beer with his dad, like outside. Real nice cover.
Yeah.
People freaked out about it.
As they do.
And then they recalled it, and then they re-released it, and it says soda pop on the bottle. You know, it's like, and you can tell it's just like someone just drew. Okay, soda pop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. But it's so that there's some great stuff out there that you can still find.
Well, man, thank you so much.
Hey,
for
thank you.
Yeah,
guys, thanks
awesome.
A lot.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
One
thank
more
you.
Time, just to make sure I don't Mike, what's your name?
Nick Colanese. Nick Colanese, Coglianese.
And
awesome.
What is your app called?
Key Collector Comics.
Key Collector awesome. Comics, available on iTunes and Google Play, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Look
guys.
It up, it'll help.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
appreciate
thank you
that.
So much for
yeah.
jumping in with us,
yeah.
man. Really,
yeah,
really
yeah,
appreciate
yeah,
that. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Geek. My name is Bryce Rankins, and of course, I'm joined here today with my co-host, Brian Romero.
Hey, that's me.
And today, we have Glynis.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, that's me.
Hey.
So,
hi, everybody.
Glynis, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
I'm Glynis Pruitt, and I own the Comic Book Hideout in downtown Fullerton.
And as we've said before multiple times, we love the Comic Book Hideout.
Yes, we
Yay,
do.
And
Comic
we've
Book
interviewed
loves you.
Have we interviewed you twice now?
Once, I believe.
WonderCon.
Yeah.
Last year. Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you interview me every time you come in.
I mean,
see
basically,
you at the
shop. We haven't talked for a while, so yeah.
We just hang out.
Yeah.
We're just cool like that.
Yeah.
So, today we wanted to talk about key issues and comic collecting and comic book shopping and comic book shop ING with a dash ING as in owning a comic book shop and the owning a comic book
yeah,
shop
yeah.
and running it. Yeah, that's why we're here. So we listened to an interview a little bit ago with Nick Colanese.
Yes.
Who
yeah.
created the Key Collector app.
Yes.
I mean, you've looked over the app.
Yeah, I've checked out the app. I think it's really a very well-made app. It's very pretty. It's easy to use. It's got some cool features. I enjoyed the amount of information that it has on it. It looks like someone took a lot of time and developed it well. So if you are a key only kind of comic book collector, that would be a beneficial tool for you. I think that my only hang up on the whole idea is not necessarily at all with the app or apps designed to do such a thing. I think that those are all wonderful for what they do. I kind of get rubbed the wrong way about the idea of only collecting or valuing or giving any sort of merit to key comic books.
Yeah. Mm.
Because in my mind, comic books are for reading.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you want to get people invested in the characters and the stories and the writers and the artists and actually reading the comic books. So for me, people that only collect key issues are really missing out on the breadth of the
everything
comic book
else.
Culture.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And I think that it's become something that's started more recently. Like, keys have always been a big thing since comic book collecting became a thing.
Right.
But key-only collecting and collecting keys that are only collected for value is something that is more common now. And, I mean, I get phone calls and emails and people coming in all the time that are only looking for, you know, what key comics do you have? I'm like, man, I have...
I got all of them.
50,000 comics in my
store.
They're
all key issues.
You know, if you only want key issues and you're only looking for big ticket items, that's one thing if you are a comic book connoisseur and a collector, you know, and you only have the keys left, right? Oh, because I have a lot of collectors that come in that have a big list and they're like, well, I'm only looking for the heavy hitters now. You know, now I got all the Hulks except for the 180, 181.
Except for the appearance of so-and-so. Yeah, that's me with Beard Thor. I have all the Beard Thor. That time when Thor wasn't Donald Blake and he had a beard suddenly in the early 90s.
Beard Thor.
Beard Thor. I call it the Beard Thor saga. Yeah. I got all of them. I got all of them for like 25 cents a pop.
Yeah.
But I'm missing random keys amongst those.
Because those keys are probably worth like, what, $5?
I know.
I probably have them here.
Yeah,
you probably do.
I should pull out.
Actually, I don't think we've come in to look for them yet.
No.
Oh, what
we know what we're doing tomorrow.
Well, you know, we are having our huge anniversary sale coming up.
Ooh, tell us about that.
Oh my gosh. So the Hideout is turning 6 years old.
Can
you believe
grade.
It? Oh. 6 years
old. I should be able to read the comic books by now.
Right? See, and as perfect apropos for my Hideout becoming 6 years old and going off to school, I get to go on vacation for 2 weeks right after. It's
perfect.
Great. I'm so excited. But the comic book Hideout is 6 years old in November, and so on November the 4th, which is a Sunday, we are having a huge sale all weekend, so it'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Cool.
And on Saturday, we have the Jogathon, which I'll be emceeing and dealing with the Rotary. It's a huge citywide inter-district fundraiser. And then on Sunday, we will be having a bounce house, a barbecue, art show, and a huge sale. And the sale is going to be 60% off back issues.
Ooh.
Starting it big. So now that the Hideout's six, we're going to really kick it off. And I simply have too many comic books. And some of them need to go home with you. So 60% off back issues, 50% off manga, 40% off complete sets, of which I will have a ton of.
Nice.
30% off trade paperbacks. I don't normally discount trade paperbacks, so that is a pretty awesome
thing.
I'm also doing 20% off all of our current books, which is unheard of.
Ooh, yeah.
The Hideout.
No one does that.
And 10% off all of my top shelf key issue books and all the top shelf rack stuff. So if you're looking to collect all those key issues, I just got a huge box full of them.
Ooh.
Spider-Man keys, Batman keys, X-Men keys, everything from the 70s to modern. I've got a bunch of copies of First Watchmen. I've got a bunch of the Frank Miller Batman stuff, Year One, Dark Knight, all first prints of all that stuff.
That's fantastic.
First appearance of Harley Quinn.
Wow.
First Batgirl.
Back on keys again.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm bringing it full
circle.
Bring
it back around.
Right.
So if you're looking for key comic books, Comic Book Hideout is just freshly stocked.
Yeah.
And they will be gone by that weekend. So
cool.
Come and get them beforehand or get them at 10% off for our sale. And we got keys up the wazoo.
Dope.
Yeah. So, okay, so back on Kyushu's and back on Mr. Colonese's app. So he actually found us, like, right after we were talking to Ming Chen, who, you know, also owns a comic book shop.
Yeah, excellent. Right? Helps run it, yeah.
Yeah, helps run a comic book shop. And I wanted to kind of look at the app a little bit and, like, run it in real time again. So, like, who's your favorite character right now?
Wonder Woman.
Okay, I'm so shocked, given the amount of Wonder Woman memorabilia around your office.
I know.
Now,
you're looking at it like, oh, my God, she's everywhere.
So much. So, like, you know, we character search, and we Wonder Woman, and we're going to go, Wonder Woman.
Here, look up the number one and two from the George Perez run in 1980.
Allegedly, there are 44
key issues.
Key issues, yeah. Hmm.
Well, that's going to be the first appearance of Cheetah. That's going to be the first appearance of Giganta.
First appearance of Wildcat.
And Wildcat, yeah.
Sensation Comics, number one.
Oh, dang.
This guy right here, the second one. The low end is $4,500 and the high end is $52,000.
Yeah, dude, that's because it's Sensation Comics number one. What year did it come out?
It says published 1942.
There you go.
With various writers and illustrated by Harry G. Peter.
Harry Peter.
That G is very necessary.
Harry
he was insisting. Yeah. Like, listen, buddy, you throw the G on or I walk.
Man, 1942 being named Harry Peter, that's got to...
Yeah.
That probably served him.
I'm surprised they allowed that.
I mean, in Sensation Comics, they were doing all kinds of fun stuff in 1942.
Did you watch Professor Layton and the Wonder Woman?
Oh, yes, Martin.
Professor Layton is a Nintendo character.
Marston.
Professor Marston. Did you watch Professor Marston and the
Wonder
Woman?
I did. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. Super fun. It was very romantic. I thought it was sweet, and I enjoyed it fully, thoroughly, all of it.
It's on my list of things to watch. I have a huge list of things to watch, but that's on there.
I think I have the book, too, that I have to read, but I'm going to get to read it when I'm on vacation.
There you go. Yay.
That's when I get to read all my actual books.
Yeah. Real books? What?
Real books. Nope. Real books are good, too, guys. Yeah. Everyone should be reading. They should be reading their comic books. They should be reading the full storylines and full arcs and runs of comics and not just collecting key issues because...
Comics are books, and you need to read books.
Yes, everyone needs to read.
Yeah. In the more plenty of countries read, where comics are a little less stigmatized... Mm-hmm. There's, like, most people's first books are comic books.
Yeah.
They read comic books. We always read comic books first. But in France, it's very common that you'll get a bunch of comic books long before you'll ever get... Same with Belgium.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And Tintin, Marsupilami, Asterix and Obelix. Those are all...
Oh, yeah.
Those are
Asterix
all from
and Obelix.
There.
Man, I haven't seen that stuff in forever. You know, I never get collections of that.
No?
And Tintin. I never get Tintin in. Well, because it's mostly European, so I get collections of what people around here were reading when they were kids.
Right. Makes sense.
Which is generally the same stuff all the time.
Yeah. Like, I've had this since I was a kid. Is it worth anything? Like, nah, about the same as much as that one that's, over here on the counter.
Yeah,
next to
crazy.
That one, the same thing.
It's amazing how demanding people can be. So one of the biggest and most important jobs of my job is buying collections.
Yeah.
And buying and flipping collections and getting older books. And I'm one of the only stores that I know of that buys collections.
Yeah.
Most people are like,
I think I've been in and people would bring in like boxes of stuff. And you're just like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
The only people I know of who buy collections regularly are people like Steve who don't have a brick and mortar store anymore.
Yeah.
Because they can just warehouse it and then
pull
it out when they are ready to sell it at a con.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard. I do so much processing of collections. That's like a majority of my time is, you know, going through stuff, weeding out all of the things that people would consider not keys.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Even they're like, oh, I love this issue.
Yeah. Getting collections together, like making sets and getting runs together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I should be doing and what I am doing now that I wasn't doing in the last 6 years was putting all of that online because people are buying things online instead of coming to my store and buying them in person, which makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Come visit me in the store. Come see my smiling face and pick up comics that you get to take home right in your very own hands. It's like brick and mortar retail will never die in my heart.
Yeah.
Too soon. Yeah. We're still open, guys.
Yeah. No, like one of our favorite bookstores growing up, like Russo's, out of Bakersfield.
Interestingly enough, before I was into comic books, so I went in there for books all the time.
Same.
But he was in there getting his comic books from there.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But I got, yeah, I started with regular books, and then I was super into trading card games growing up, and then I got into comics. So, like, that was my store. That was my go-to store for everything. Yeah. And they, like, slowly shrunk down in size in the shopping center. They, like, put up a wall.
Yeah, they had two buildings. They had two, like, spaces, and then they threw up a wall and then gave the other side of the store to, like, a boutique.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, you
but they eventually shut down, unfortunately. And then they ended up opening up a smaller store across town because people were like, no, wait, were we going to actually get our books, though? And it's like, oh, they had a bookstore. Here we go. So, yeah.
Yeah. That took still a long important. Time for them to do that, though. Mm-hmm. We were without Arusso's for a long time.
But they're in business now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess
they had an online component for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I mean, you kind of have to. Yeah. It's like going underground. Well, my market. Shop, we burnt it to the ground. Yeah. But don't worry, the warehouse is safe. And all of the online product is in the warehouse. And actually, there was nothing in the store. But, I mean, don't tell my insurance.
Yeah, right. I mean, what?
What?
It's hard. It's a hard out there for a retail store.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
The internet is a difficult competition. Well, and Amazon is like taking over the world. Remember back when we were kids and everyone was like, Walmart's taking over the world.
Uh-huh.
Walmart's ruining it for everyone.
People out of business and they were doing some shady things.
Everyone's going out of business because Walmart's just killing it.
Yeah.
Amazon is doing that now.
But they're actually doing it.
But Amazon's actually doing it. Yeah, it's really rough. The only bad Yelp reviews I get are very, very, very seldom, but I get people that come in and complain about my prices being too high.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I price match Amazon. So if you come into the store and you want something and you see it online for cheaper, if you politely, politely ask me, hey, Glynis, I really want this comic book, but I see it online for like $5 less. Do you think you could do that? Then I'd be like, of course, of course I can. No sweat.
Yeah.
I would be happy for you to take this home with you today.
Yeah.
But if you come in and like silently judge all my prices and then don't ask me or talk to me and then write me
like you can hear their eyes rolling all over the store.
Like, oh, this place is way too expensive. It's like, oh no, bitch, I got expenses.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Rent to pay.
It's a business, right? Yeah.
You know, when we first showed you Key Collector, you had mentioned in. Because when you pull up these comics, it shows you the low end price, the high end price, the mid range price.
Yeah.
And I feel like so many people, they want you to sell at the low end price, but they want you to buy at the high end price. And they're like, this is worth $52,000.
You don't understand how things work.
And you had said that was kind of an issue for you when people come in saying this is supposed to be worth this. I saw this online.
Well, the thing about online is anyone can Google something, and the top Google search is what they will take as their truth. They will say, you know, they'll Google, you know, Fantastic Four comics or whatever, and then they'll say, oh, well, these Fantastic Four comics are going for hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, these comics are not those comics.
Right.
Second of all, these comics look like they've been through a garbage disposal.
Yeah, yeah. This page is missing. This page is folded over.
And all of those corners and staple marks are bent.
And we're still talking about motherfucking Fantastic Four. So get out of my office.
Yeah.
Like, this is from 1994. Get out.
Yeah.
Oh. That was when the movie came out. The first one.
The first
didn't.
One.
I don't know that it got released. I watched it on YouTube.
It's on the YouTube.
Did it get a real? Did it get a real release? Like, was it like
the really, really awful one? I don't know if it got a real release, but I do know that it was awful. Like, way worse than the Jessica Alba version.
Yeah,
way worse than
the
Miles
first,
Teller. Like,
yeah,
the first,
it's really bad.
It's
oh wow.
And it's just like it. I mean, it looks like it belongs on the Sci-Fi Channel.
What's the movie? There's an indie movie with the chick, one of the main characters, and her whole deal is that she was in the Fantastic Four movie as the Invisible Woman.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? Yes, I do.
I saw this indie movie, and I don't remember if it was like she actually was the actress from that movie,
no.
Or that was her character.
I just watched that. What was that?
And she's like having a really rough time. She's like going to the methadone clinics or whatever, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like so big. My memory for it is like super spotty.
That wasn't Shameless, was it? The TV show?
No, it wasn't Shameless. It was an older indie flick.
That wasn't a Kevin Smith.
We're gonna be
fact check.
Yeah, fact check.
No, I've totally seen that, and I was watching. Like,
oh, I don't have Wi-Fi on. You're gonna have to do this.
You remember what I'm talking about?
I totally do, because I like just watched it, maybe not even a year ago.
It was a very long time ago last time I watched it, but.
But yeah, because I typed in Fantastic Four, so it's showing me all Fantastic Four stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting nothing. I don't know. We'll have to just kit it.
It's all right. Yeah. We'll figure it out at some point. Anyway. We'll come back in the next episode and I'll be like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. So back on the subject of pricing with Google and such, one of the things that Tate's mom actually taught me was that when you search eBay for items, you can search for what it actually has sold as, because yes. I find an item, because she did estate sales, so I'd find an item and I'd say, it looks like it's going online for $3,000, and she'd go, no, it's being sold for $3,000. Doesn't mean anybody's bought it.
Yeah.
And then you'd find out, like, it actually had only been sold for, like, you know, a grand or something.
Right.
Or even less.
Right.
And it'd be like, no, some asshole thought that this was worth that and has that number associated with it, so the algorithm finds it, but that doesn't mean it's true.
And that has no accounting for condition.
Right.
And condition is absolutely everything in comic books.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you said. You saw somebody trying to sell it for.
Right, yeah.
Because that's not going to take into account any condition, right? So the number one search you're probably looking for is probably going to come up with the highest price for it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a near mint, like, whatever, being sold by some douchebag in Iowa
yeah.
that thought it was going to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then if you check sold listings, and then you check actually what it's for, or what condition it's in, what shape it's in, I use comicbookrealm.com.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great site for pricing out comics, because you can click on it, you can see the image, you can click on the different variants, and then you can click on the price, and it will show you an entire price range
wow.
by grade.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
And so it'll show you top price, and what the price it shows on the website, like if you just take a glance at it and you don't click on it, is usually like the 9.4, 9.5, like a near mint price.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you look on it, then they always have the, like, gem price and then everything else ascending from it. It's a little bit more accurate than the book, like the comic book Bible, which is the Overstreet Guide.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what I was taught to use
mm-hmm.
all my life
growing
reading
up, yeah.
comic books. It's a little bit more accurate to current prices because it takes everything into account that's online.
Because it can be updated like
so
that.
So it takes all of the stuff that's on eBay, that's on Amazon, that's on private selling sites, and then it gives you an average for all of that.
That's pretty cool.
It's super cool. And it's, I mean, that, like, this app, like, technology is growing with the comic book industry. It's just not growing fast enough
mm-hmm.
to develop a really good point of sale system that can hold and track all of my inventory.
Yeah.
So if you know anybody,
tweet us back.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
If anybody's got a really good point of sale system that can handle more than 50,000 individual SKU numbers for an inventory database, then hit me up. I would develop one myself,
so,
but,
yeah,
you know,
see,
like,
that sounds
in
like
my
a good
spare
thing
time.
To try and work on, yeah. But, you know, in your
oh my God.
All sorts of your spare time.
As
right?
as we look at my calendar,
yeah.
that is like,
so this is a podcast,
yeah.
and Glennis's calendar is basically just looks like an essay that's been written over a grid.
Yeah.
Right.
Different colors.
In all different colors.
It's
color coded,
yeah,
though,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, all my rotary stuff is in light blue, you know, all my, you know, gotta keep it organized. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Almost as ridiculous as how hot it is in here.
Yeah. It is really hot. Well, I mean, you're not really a key collector. Do you have any keys that you're actually really proud of, though? Like,
can I tell you guys a secret?
Yes.
And then it won't be a secret because then it will be public knowledge.
Yeah.
That's my personal collection of comic books is very small.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much just the stuff I really, really like.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. So typically, I think it's like the best way to be a comic book seller is to not get high on my own supply.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'll read stuff, you know, and I'll keep stuff. I have, the hideout has its own personal stash of like books I put in a box to forget about for 4 years and 5 years until they come back around and are worth more money. So I have like an investment box. It's kind of like stocks, you know, like,
oh,
I think this stuff will go up in value if I don't look at it and leave it alone.
If I don't look at it and a movie comes out, we're set.
Yeah. Or somebody decides that something is, one character is cool that was never cool before, and you're like, oh, wait, I don't know a bunch of those. So I have cool stuff that I like, and I have, like, you can see all these guys are my variants and, like, neat covers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I have, like, weird collections of stuff. So I really dig werewolves, so I have, like, a bunch of, like, really obscure, random werewolf covers. They're all behind those Wonder Woman stuff right there, but...
Yeah.
So I have, like, a whole short box full of just weird werewolf comics from, like, all over the place. Whenever I pick up stuff in Greek, I have a couple Greek comic books because I don't see them ever.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to teach myself Greek, so I was like, oh, those are really cool. And I have, like, you know, a bunch of shit from when I was a kid that's in my dad's garage somewhere. Like, I have a whole long box full of Buffy and Xena and, like, Spider-Woman from the 70s and stuff that's, like, doesn't have any value at all. But it's shit that I really liked when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So my heavy hitters, as far as comic book collectibles go, are probably all my original Tank Girl stuff.
Ooh, Tank Girl.
So I have a whole shit ton of Tank Girl from when it originally came out.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And, like, weird stuff like that. Like, cool, weird 90s, like...
Girl Power?
Yeah, Jim Matthews stuff. You got Tank Girl, and, like,
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, all Buffy. Girl Power. All Girl Power.
There's a theme here, for sure.
Well, you know...
And then werewolves.
And then werewolves.
Childhood Glennis and adult Glennis had some comic book affinities, so, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Last episode that we put out was with Dave, and he was talking about he had this record when he was a kid that had dramatizations of comic books, and he had the Man-Wolf introduction
issues. Rad.
And
I had all the Superman ones. They were like a set of three Superman ones that came out in the 70s. Yeah, he mentioned one of those, yeah. Yeah, I had those, and I ended up selling them.
Oh.
But it's because my whole deal as a salesperson and as a retail person is I love making people happy by finding them the stuff that they really want.
Yeah.
So when somebody comes in and they see that I have something that's super cool and they're like, oh my God, I've been looking for that forever, then of course I would rather them have it.
Yeah, here we go.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
My philosophy that I use for the store, and it's one that I have to repeat to my dad all the time, is there will always be more comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I get something super cool, I gotta keep it pushing. Gotta keep it going. Gotta keep it moving.
Gotta keep it moving,
and the cycle has to continue to flow. Otherwise, I'll end up, you know, like my dad with like a 3-car garage that's full of fucking comic books. I remember building that garage and being like, Dad, okay, this side is gonna be for actual garage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This part is gonna be for comic books, and this part's a music studio, right?
Yeah.
And since I've moved out of there many years ago, it has become comic books, and then a music studio full of fucking comic books. and then we build a shed, and the shed's all full of comic books, too. So, you know, I have a lot of comics. My dad has almost as many comics as I have, and he doesn't have a store.
Yeah, because I remember last sale you guys had, it was for comic book day, the last sale. That's how my brain's working these days.
It has been a long time since you've been...
Since comic book day. But your dad brought a bunch of his stuff out.
Yeah, he did a pop-up. Pop-up shop.
Pop-up shop. Pop-up shop.
Yep.
I found some good stuff in there, though.
There was tons of really, really good stuff. Oh, and for my big sale, have you seen my dollar bins? Because I just created new dollar bins that are full of really good stuff.
So I looked through them like a month ago and found some good stuff. Is there more there?
I just refilled them up. The dollar bins are staying dollar bins.
Because I want to go through them like now.
Love me some good dollar bins.
Yeah. I'm doing like... putting ridiculous stuff in the dollar bins. Like, there's so many cool indie titles. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about key collectors, right? So bringing it back to key collectors, indie comics, stuff that's not Marvel, not DC, used to be what I specialized in. And I mean, it still is what I specialized in for Dark Horse,
IDW,
Image, all that stuff, for new books. But the thing is, as I have noticed, and I've been selling comics for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a weird thing to say, knowing that I'm 31.
Right.
But as comic collectors go, it used to be that when an indie book came out or did a small run, it was really hard to find those books afterwards, and you'd have to go hunting for them. And you'd have a list, and, you know, superhero books are everywhere, but the indie stuff was a lot harder to get a hold of.
Yeah.
And so I had, like, really banging indie bins that had, like, all the coolest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized recently in the last, you know, few years is people that read indie comics really read comics. And they love the comics that they're reading.
Yeah.
So they don't care about getting them in single issues. They just want to read them.
Yeah.
So they just wait and get them in trades. And if they get a couple of them, but then they're missing some, they'll just go out and spend $25 on a new trade rather than hunting down and looking for the back issue that they missed.
Yeah.
And so... In one way, it's good because comics are being read and they're being consumed and people are digging them, and I love that.
Yeah.
In another way, for me specifically, for having a ton of back issue stock, is like,
hey, what do I do with all this stuff?
Hey guys, what about all these?
You love the story, why don't you have it in a set?
Yeah, why don't you have it in single issues? And then you can get the letters from the editors, and then, you know, you get all the fun stuff. But that's such a, like, old school way to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
So now I have to, it's like changed my whole ordering strategy of like how many books I'm getting, and it changes the functionality of the store, right?
Yeah.
So if I know that the back issues that I'm getting are not being sold out of the indie bin and nobody's coming to pick them up, then I have to, you know, compensate by lowering the orders of those that I'm going to have on the store floor, and then, you know, trying to bump up people's pulls to make sure everyone that's getting pulls is still pulling their single issues. And, you know, it just changes the whole demographic of the store and how it works. And that's something that's like people don't talk about as being a comic book store owner, is ordering is so difficult and so important. It can make or break your store in like within 4 months. Within half a year you could completely fail. So the thing about key comic book collectors, right? We were talking about two different types of comic book collectors, the ones that want to collect the books because they have a specific character in mind, or they have a specific writer or artist that they really like, and they want to have all of those things, that all of the things that are published by that person. Or there's the people that are collecting for value, right?
Yeah.
So now we can't diss on the people that are collecting for value, because they're the ones that are actually buying the shit off the market. So we like those people, right?
They're still buying stuff.
And as long as they're buying stuff, that's good. But those are the people that are also going to haggle the most, that are going to try to get everything for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are all looking to resell. And because we're talking about the internet, now that the internet is the way that it is, literally any Joe Schmo that comes into my store can have his own online comic book store.
Right.
So, and the big air quotes that you can't see because it's radio. so it creates everyone into a potential retailer. So it's one of those things where it's cool. It used to be cool, like, oh, I have all these comic books and I really love them, and now that I haven't touched them in 20 years, they might be worth something. But generally speaking, most of the populace doesn't have that. And if they do, it's not going to get them what they wish they would get them.
Right. Because they don't know how it actually works.
Yeah. But the heavy hitters that are buying, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of comic books and utilizing them, like buying and selling them, or buying and trading and selling them like stocks, right? So they're getting, you know, big key issues, like, oh my gosh, I need to have an Amazing Fantasy 15. If I don't have Amazing Fantasy 15, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, right? But they're going to be shelling out enough money. You know, they're going to be shelling out enough money that once they get it, are they going to be happy and satisfied with that?
Yeah.
Or are they going to have to trade it for an action, you know, low number action? Or are they going to have to trade it for a low number detective? Or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's as much a hobby as it is kind of a, like,
a sickness.
Slight addiction.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of an addiction,
yeah.
You know? And people that are compulsive about their collecting, which is definitely a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's
been there a few times.
It can be simultaneously super cool, because when you find it and you have it, then you'd be like, I am the master!
Yeah.
I have all of the things!
Yeah.
Like, we had a dude display his personal Doctor Strange collection.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, you guys remember that, right?
Yeah.
It was very impressive.
Yeah.
And that was not even his comic books. That was like, he displayed some of his comic books, but it was a lot of his memorabilia and artwork and stuff like that. He told me he had over 50 t-shirts. And he had, like, tons of long boxes of actual comic books. He told me he had all of the Doctor Strange comic books that have been put out in print as of the date.
Wow. That's impressive.
That's super impressive.
Yeah.
That's super duper impressive. But, A, it's Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah.
So it's doable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Impressive.
New
very impressible.
Yeah. Beard Thor.
Yes.
You just got to pick something small, right?
Yeah.
You pick
Young
small
Avengers.
And then you get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I like to teach collectors, right? So when kids come in and they come in with their parents, and the dad tells me, like, oh, this is his first comic book and I want to get him into collecting so he can, like, you know, learn the value of stuff. And I'm like, excellent.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Start small.
Yeah.
You know? Start small. Find something that you really dig.
You only love Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Right? Well, you start there, and then once you complete it, then you level up.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, oh, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, so for me, I like to branch from character to character.
So I was going
to
say, like,
yeah.
they'll get the little issues of whatever they have, little arc, and they're like, okay, well, this character appeared in there. What other books is that character in there?
Yeah. And that's what's wonderful about superhero comic books is because they're so interconnected, and they have this giant universe of characters and this whole world of different experiences and dimensions and, like, you know, Earth 1 and Earth 2 and Earth 3, and there's all this wonderful ways to get into something where you don't have to start from A and get all the way to Z.
Yeah,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it is something that needs to be reminded of people. You know, like, you don't need just key comic book issues. So, key issues.
Yeah.
Is there anything more that you are...
I think we've kind of covered everything when it comes to collecting, as well as, you know, running a shop and that aspect of it. Both sides of the coin are kind of displayed here.
Yeah. What's the coolest key that you've held in your hands?
That I've held in my hands?
I have... Is it X-Men 25 Fatal Attractions with Magneto tearing the adamantium out of Wolverine's bones?
Oh,
that's a pretty badass one.
That one happened when we were kids.
Yeah.
I totally have one of those.
Yeah.
I think that of all the ones that I've, like, actually held in my hands, I think it would be that first appearance of New Warriors and Thor. Mm-hmm. Or my Luke Cage Iron Fist team up. That was pretty... I got that just excited. But, you know, I saw it was 51 and I thought nothing of it.
Yeah.
Or 50 or whatever issue it is. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I own that. Yeah. That's... I didn't realize that was
that's
the
best
that
part
happened.
Is, like, if you're not into it for the key issues and you're just picking up whatever and you end up like, oh, I really like this series. And you find out, like, that's a huge major key issue. You're like, hell yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like it's winning the comic book lottery a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have all that Beard Thor stuff, and I have the New Warrior stuff, and I have some Nova and Star-Lord number ones. Yeah, I haven't... I mean, I've looked at and drooled over a few that were on Steve's shelves, but I've never, like, pulled them off and actually, like, held it. I really want his Ms. Marvel number one first printing, but it's, like, $100. And
yeah.
I have a first Kamala Khan if you want. First appearance of Ms. Marvel.
We'll talk later. So the question I was going to ask was, nowadays we have way more number ones. Like, back in the day,
The app was listening all of the new number ones that come out this week.
But I think that's also just a weird trend, too, because, like, back in the day, you didn't want low numbers. You need, like, comics didn't sell when they had low numbers. That we established that in our Dave episode. We talked about Golden Age comics and Silver Age. And that was kind of a trend for a long time, but, like, especially in the last 10 years, I feel like.
Oh, the number one.
There's so many number
Both
ones.
Both Marvel and DC have rebooted so many times, so many titles.
You know why? It's because they're trying to develop new readership, and people are intimidated by jumping in at high number comic books.
Yeah,
but feel like it is a publisher error in that if you have a good team selling your product, you don't need to continuously try to rebrand it and resell it.
Yeah,
like people come in and ask me for new comics. Hey, what's new? What's good? What do you really like right now? And just because I can say, oh, this is a brand new number one, or I have the first 4 issues or 5 issues, that's not always the guaranteed selling of it, you know?
Right.
So by creating and renumbering, there are 4 different Venom books out right now.
Oh. Yeah.
4 of them at the same time. And there's like 8 different X-Men comic books running at one time.
Yeah, when the X-Men teams are running simultaneously, like Legacy and...
X-Men
Uncanny
Red and X-Men Black.
Yeah,
Black just came out.
Yeah, red, blue, black, gold.
But all the blacks are number ones. All of them.
Yes, because
you know
there's
why?
Only 5 of them.
Because they're solo stories. Yep. Instead of calling them one shots or calling them X-Men Black 1-5, they're all number ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's confusing.
It's very confusing.
And it doesn't really make sense.
And then you have the problem of, you know, the exact problem that you were avoiding in the first place of, like, I don't know where to start, because now your ones are in some sort of mild succession.
So they just make it. They just make it as difficult as possible for me as a retailer. I feel personally
attacked.
I think Marvel kind of realized that. I know they had a big old shift change with some of the higher ups. The comic books wise.
Well, then they were like, just kidding, guys, we're going to go back to the old numbering.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, God, that's so confusing. Why did we do that?
Because,
that was a terrible choice. Everyone hated it.
And that's what I was going for, is because they started putting the legacy number up on there. Mm-hmm. So they'll put the new volume number is kind of the bigger number, and then the legacy number is smaller. So whatever issue 690 something was issue 4 in this current run.
Yeah.
Which I get and I appreciate, because having 7 different Spider-Man number ones from the last 2 years was a little bit much.
There's more than that.
Yeah.
There were so many Spider-Mans. But when right after the Secret War, oh my God, there were so many freaking Spider-Mans.
Well, you know what's happening right now is Spider-Geddon.
Yeah.
Right. Which, and that's the thing, like, just before Secret War was when we had all that crazy crossover Spider-Man thing. So it was like, there's a ton of stuff happening with Spider-Man right now. But it was like, this Peter Parker versus Miles Morales versus Gwen. Which I was okay with.
I like Spider-Man, but holy fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Like, how is anyone supposed to keep up with that?
Yeah.
But I own a comic book store, and I'm like, I don't even want to bother with this.
Yeah. But the problem with after Secret War specifically was that, like, three of them had to do with Peter Parker, the same Peter Parker.
I mean,
it was like,
one
story.
Yeah. I mean, hell, that's Wolverine and all.
At least there were clones. But, like, I get it. Spider-Verse was confusing, and Spider-Geddon is getting there, too. But, like, when they had, Peter Parker with his,
it's
basically
good.
The Future Foundation, like, rich, non-bad luck Peter Parker, which, why would I care? Why?
Yeah.
I like Peter Parker because everything bad happens to him.
You know? And you're like, that's me.
You know?
I grew up reading Spider-Man, and Spider-Man was one of the first books that got me really excited.
Mm-hmm. Same, yeah.
Spider-Man and X-Men.
Yeah,
and,
That's how.
And those were the two cartoons that were, like,
that were going
the best,
yes.
Other than Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Superman, actually. I really liked the Superman show.
I didn't get too much of it.
I think the Superman show suffers.
Definitely
because
remember.
N64
I think I watched. I watched the Superman and Iron Man and Hulk shows and Fantastic Four animated around the same.
See, I only barely watched Spider-Man and X-Men.
Spider-Man and X-Men
yeah.
for sure. Spider-Man came out first, but that was like Saturday morning cartoons my entire childhood.
Classic. Fox.
Spider-Man, X-Men, The Tick.
The Tick.
The Tick.
Yeah, dude, that was like a lot of my childhood.
Patrick
and
Warburton.
Before Patrick Warburton, the original Tick. Which is so funny. I think that character idea has stuck in my head so much. I'm playing a D&D campaign where I'm a warrior, and I'm basically a Amazon version of the Tick, and just have zero charisma, and I'm just, like, really trying to help and
Johnny
be the leader. Exactly.
In
yeah.
Yeah. And just falling in love with everyone.
Did you
everyone.
Watch the Tick on Amazon?
Yes,
I
did.
It was amazing.
It was
not
amazing,
but
it was definitely better than the Patrick Warburg one, and it was the most like the cartoon.
Did they have Batman Well?
It wasn't Batman Well. Batman Well was a version of the Deflator Mouse.
Yeah.
Deflator Mouse and American Made were their original ones.
That's right.
The Patrick Warburg one, I tried to watch it, and I just was like...
It's so bad.
It's really bad. And I mean, I like him
as a kid. You watch it because you want to watch Patrick Warburg.
Well, that's basically it, yeah.
I just wish that they just did it animated and had him do the voice like Krunk.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Right?
He's so great as Krunk. That movie is so underrated.
Squeak, squeakity, squeak. Have you watched A Series of Unfortunate Events?
I have.
Because he's great in that.
He is good in that. I have a problem with that show because it's just such a bummer.
It is
such a bummer.
Yeah,
and like every
other parts, I'm like, oh.
And I get it that it's funny and stuff, but it's like all of the problems seem so fixable if people would just like communicate.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really, really frustrating for me because I'm just like, oh my God, why is the judge so nice but so stupid?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Right?
She's
like,
so great.
She's so great, but it's just like, why are you so vapid? It doesn't, how are you a judge? I don't know. It's a really well done show. The production quality is great. All of the actors are great. It's the funny parts are very funny. But it's just, I think it's too triggery for me as a girl that came up from a fucked up home.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh God, no, what?
Well, what are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading Rat Queens, which I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on with that book.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it so much, you know, back when Brian's cousin was drawing it.
My cousin drew it for a little bit.
Which is really cool. And then they were like, got in some trouble, and there was a lot of drama, and they're like, okay, just reboot it.
Yeah.
Just reboot it. Just start over.
Whole Marvel.
Oh, okay.
And then they did, and then I was reading it, and I was just like, but wait,
I'm still confused.
Why are we starting over? I know all the... Okay. Wait.
Did they start completely over?
No. They just kind of... they did like a soft reboot where they were just like, and now it's number one again.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing... And
here's
so,
some origin-y
so
sort of
yeah,
things.
It was kind of origin-y stuff. And then I was like, well, what is actually happening with these characters. And then there was like some weird other dimensional kind of magician dude thing going on. And I was like, okay, well, maybe they're going to make it all make sense. But because I've been reading it as it comes out month to month and then taking breaks as they've been taking breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so disjunct, like disjointed and there's a word, disjuncted? No, something similar to that? Am I losing my mind?
Slightly.
Some of the sounds of the Rat Queen story, yeah.
I'm losing my mind. I'm also reading Wonder Woman is finally gotten better. And all the stuff with the Witching Hour and Justice League Dark is been really enjoyable and super fun. And look at how fucking cool this
That's
cover is.
So this is a podcast, and holy shit. What issue is that?
This is the new Wonder Woman 57 that comes out tomorrow. Ooh. And this is the super awesome variant of it. And she just... They're turning Wonder Woman into like a super badass witch, and it's just it's just really rad.
I'm
100% into it, and all of the Justice League Dark stuff tying into it has made the Wonder Woman main storyline, which has been sucking really hard since Rucka left, better. And I'm like, oh wait, this is great. I'm also reading Rick and Morty Dungeons and Dragons, which your cousin also does some variant covers for.
I love those covers, though.
The character sheet covers.
Character
are my
sheet
favorite
covers?
Ones. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I'm reading those. I'm reading anything Tank Girl, obviously. We already talked about that. I'm trying to think of Marvel stuff that I'm reading. I'm reading Mr. and Mrs. X, which
I'm
really enjoying.
You, yeah, because you kept me in the store because you're like, I didn't order enough. I didn't get my copy. You can't buy this until I'm done reading it. I'm like, okay.
I don't do that to every customer, just Brian.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to finish reading that. So
I'm like, you know what? I'll go find some stuff. I think I ended up finding some back issues I was missing anyway. So
yeah.
It worked out.
It totally worked out.
Oh, Scar issues.
Which one?
Are you watching anything?
Yes, I'm finishing season 2 of Luke Cage. I have not started season 2 or season 3 of Iron Fist and Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But I'm all up in the Netflix stuff.
I just finished Daredevil season 3 and I really liked it.
Excellent. Yeah, I have to catch up on that. I have very, very limited free time, so I can watch like an episode a night, maybe 3 or 4 nights a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we talked about earlier, I'm trying to catch up on Coven so I can like get back into the American Horror Story stuff.
Yeah.
And there's just some of them that I'm going to do a hard pass on, I think. That it's just like, oh, Hotel, I just don't need to see
I
that.
Never watched, I never watched any of Hotel.
Oh, the Circus one, that's
The Circus
little...
one's good and actually ties in a little bit to the Asylum one, yeah.
Okay. I like that they're doing stuff to tie them all together, because I was really worried about that, watching from a distance and being like, I don't understand, the show's like cool, but it's like weird and like, okay.
Yeah, certain characters actually exist in multiple seasons, but other characters don't. So
and the
like
actors are the same,
but there's like only one of other characters. It's very strange.
I thought that was interesting. But I understand like the want to work with the same actors often and do something different.
And it's
but
cool.
That's a pretty cool idea.
So I kind of like that.
As good, if not better, in Freak Show as she was in Coven.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, she's great.
I mean, she's great anyways.
Yeah.
She's great anyways,
She plays a bearded lady in Freak Show.
Most of her parts in Coven are, like, almost too much for me.
Yeah, she's a little...
Of just like, oh my god, could we stop with the torture for, like, 5 seconds? Like, did you need to rip that guy's guts out? I guess you did.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But
towards the end of it, it's really... I'm serious. It's like Pretty Little Liars got together with the horror people. Yeah. Like,
but Luke Cage is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Skinny, not-so-buff Luke Cage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm digging that. So I'm trying to... And that was, like, my Halloween one that I wanted to watch for October. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really, really super flipping excited about is Sabrina the Teenage Witch. They're doing Sabrina Chillers as a Netflix series with the producers of Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And they're doing it like the Chillers comic that they put out a little while ago.
Okay.
And if you've not read that comic, stop what you're doing right now. Turn this podcast off. Drive to the Comic Book Hideout and come buy it from me because it's amazing.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Just pause. Or if you have it on your phone, you can listen to it in your car. I mean, it's 2018.
Yeah.
Make this happen, guys.
Yeah.
But Sabrina Chillers, when they did the Archie reboot, they did the Archie horror reboot as well.
Yeah.
So they did the Chillers one right after they did Afterlife of Archie. So they did Zombies, and then they brought Sabrina back, and the art in it is fantastic. It looks like a 1960s Archie horror book.
Oh, cool. Wow.
But cooler.
Cool.
And it's the art's fantastic. The writing is rad. They pulled so much from the old stuff. Like all of the villains and how they're doing everything is really, really fun. And it's Sabrina in the 60s, all of the ideas that we have about witches came from the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And so it's very like, you know, witches give themselves to the devil when they're on their 16th birthday and blah, blah, blah. Oh. It's very like campy, silly, yeah, monster, fun, witchy stuff. And yeah, it's I'm really excited to see what they do with the TV show.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a couple previews and it looks really good.
The previews tell so much. I was just like, oh my god, I didn't want to watch. Yeah. Like, I didn't know that they were gonna do all this.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited. I like the girl that they picked to play Sabrina. I think that's the clutch maneuver for that show. Is just you have to have a really good Sabrina.
Yeah.
And the aunts look great, and they're gonna have the talking cat, and everything's gonna be amazing.
Yeah.
I grew up with the malicious Joan Hart.
Oh Sabrina. Yeah. Yep.
And you know, Josie and the Pussycats and Sabrina and Archie and stuff were a big part of my childhood. So I'm really excited to see what the Riverdale's producers are gonna do, because they don't hold anything back. They're like wild teenage rampant like nonsense. So I'm into that.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Brian, you reading anything right now?
I'm reading all the things that I'm getting from Glennis.
Yay! Because you have your pull list.
I do. So, last week picked up the new Mr. and Mrs. X, which is so good. Yeah. They're in space, Gambit and Rogue.
And it's like all of the characters from your childhood that you never thought would be in comics again, they're back.
Yeah, they're there.
Like all of the weird space people and their weird sidekicks.
I love the Shi'ar.
Target age demographic for book because it's all of the shit that was in comics when we were kids.
Is
he a redback?
Not yet.
I wouldn't put it past him.
No.
Is he not the next X-Men Black cover?
No, I kind of wish that'd be cool. Juggernaut's out.
Juggernaut's out tomorrow.
I'm excited for that one. Yeah. No, so I'm going to read the X-Men Blacks and the Reds and the Golds and the Blues, but they finished up.
Golds and Blues are done because they switched to Black and Red.
Yeah.
Black and Red will be done so that they can switch to something else, but Uncanny. Astonishing still's going.
Uncanny's
coming back.
That's so they finished those ones up. They're doing Extermination, and then that's going to lead into the new run of Uncanny X-Men.
Because they have to bring back Wolverine to get the original team.
So I kind of started reading The Return of Wolverine. It wasn't that great, so I don't know. It's not that great.
People have been anticipating it for a long time.
Story's not that. I don't remember. So anyways, I'm all about the X-Men stuff as usual. Yeah, Astonishment's been really good. What else am I reading? There's so many. Venom stuff. Holy crap.
Are you reading this?
No, and I was going to get it in trade, because in fact, I think you started put it in the pull list just in case. And I'm like, no, I'll wait. And then you sold out of all of them. I'm like, yeah.
I put it in your pull for a reason, Ryan.
In Glennis we trust.
Right. I'm like a personal comic book concierge.
Yeah.
Right? Like I just, I really try to have personal service, like me and Heather, my girl helping me here.
Heather's great, by the way.
Heather's awesome. Sure, we love Heather. We're really happy to have, I'm really happy to have a team right now that is the best team that I have had yet at the Comic Book Hideout. Yeah, I just keep, you know, switching them out for better, the next level up. And Heather is definitely the level up.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And so we try to pick books for your polls that we think that you'll enjoy so you don't miss them.
Yeah.
Because now that the industry is where it's at, we have to slim our orders down really tight to be able to keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to make sure that people are getting the books that I think that they would have an interest in before they have to come and shop for them and they're all gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which helped me because you guys put in the X-Men Black and I knew it was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was at the Comic-Con panel when they announced it and I was super stoked. And I didn't realize that it's already October.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it showed up and they're like, oh, thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the thing is like, I'm offering a free service. Pull lists are for free.
Mm-hmm.
You get free comic book bags and boards.
Yeah.
And I stock all of your stuff so you don't miss it and put in recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. It's free.
Yeah.
All you have to do is buy your comics and like show up. And like pick them up regularly.
Yeah.
I don't even make you show up every week. You can come and see me
once every other week.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that like the commitment is not really a commitment, right? I don't make you sign a contract. I don't keep your credit card file number on file or anything.
And plenty of stores do that, and it's really weird. I mean, I get why they do it.
I mean, it's a business. Difficult. So I would love to put everybody's credit card on file and just be like, well, they haven't come in. Charge them anyway. But it just doesn't, you know, I get it. Everyone has a life. Comic books are our item of...
luxury?
Leisure. Luxury. Yeah, luxury. Yeah. So I understand when people have to come in and be like, yo, I got to cut titles from my list because I can't, like, pay my rent. Yeah. I want you to pay your rent.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to eat.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
comic books are great,
but, like... I used to
have
a pull of, like, 17 different books, and then I changed jobs, and my pull went down to one.
Yeah. But, I mean, as long as you're communicative...
Then it went down to zero for a while.
As long as you're communicative with your shop, like... I'm here to get, like we said earlier, my favorite thing in the world is making people happy by giving them exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. So if people come in and are like, hey, I really want all this stuff, but I just can't afford it, I'd be like, no stress. You don't have to get it. Like, it's all right. I'm going to put it to back issue, and then you can come get it when you want, when you have time, if it's still here.
Yeah.
You know? Easy peasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get plenty of awesome sales to come get it later, too.
Exactly. And you can even get it cheaper than you were going to get it from before if you come and get it on sale.
Yeah. What do you got going on, Bryce?
I'm reading Tales from Vader's Castle, which is in the Star Wars adventure books, which are Image?
IDW.
They're IDW. Okay, which are IDW. And
yeah, they have the rights to Star Wars stuff just for kids.
Yeah.
But the other regular Star Wars books are coming out through Marvel.
Yeah.
Which, that Vader story is freaking fantastic.
Oh, they're doing, because Vader's castle is happening over in that end, too.
Yeah, but they're showing how Vader got his castle and how it was built, and it's just freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Was it built with force?
We don't know yet.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah.
You'll have to read it to
find
out.
But there's an old Sith Lord that showed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does he have robot legs? Because I'm not into it.
No.
I wouldn't, you know. Yeah, so I'm reading that, and then I just got back into Ms. Marvel again, and we just recently found out that Ms. Marvel, the way she embiggens without becoming more dense is because she's actually borrowing masks from her future selves and different timelines. So,
what?
Yeah,
very weird, and it's very trippy, and I don't know if
it's,
I love it. Comic books are awesome!
Yeah, no, Bruno
like, that's
figured
so
it
ridiculous.
Out.
Ridiculous.
And, like, he watched all these timelines, and he sees, like, the Exiles timeline, and he sees her as, like, president timeline, he sees her just fighting timeline, and, like, in several of them, he realizes that he might not be able to use his legs in the future because of various accidents and stuff. Because he's got, like, an adamantium exoskeleton on his legs right now.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah,
okay.
Like, he's in braces, basically. But
super
high end ones. But he has like this computer that has its interface is represented by Professor X. And so
that's
like Professor X sometimes will give like life advice and he'll be like,
oh my god, that's amazing. I want that on my phone.
It's really weird that you're saying he's like, well, I'm in party mode right now. And like it's not like even remotely exciting. He just happens to have like a mild existential thought. So I'm reading that.
I want that as an app.
Yeah,
someone make that happen.
I want to have
Professor X on my phone telling me about...
If I've learned anything from comics in the last several years, it is that I do not trust Professor X at all.
There's
all
okay,
oh, God.
That's
actually,
true.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
He's kind of a dick.
But,
I was thinking of the Professor X from my childhood.
Right.
who was doing all the bad things,
kind
but
of
in secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, turns out. Turns out.
But reading those two, and then I'm reading a shitload of information on interlanguage, because I'm in grad school for linguistics, so I'm reading a lot of academia, which is making reading comics go super fast, because now it's
your
like the easiest thing
mode.
In the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm watching Haunting of Hill House.
I heard that's really scary. Is it
yeah,
scary?
Yeah, it's terrifying. I love it.
Oh, good.
Is
it ghost stuff?
Yeah. So it's based on a book by Shirley Jackson who wrote The Lottery.
Okay.
And I have the abridged version in my car, actually, right now from Reader's Digest. From a 1963 Reader's Digest. That book is, like, cracking as I move it.
I love that stuff.
But I've been reading that, I've been looking at that occasionally, and there's some parallels, which is cool. But last night I went to watch the show, and I was like, I'm going to watch one of these, and then I'm going to finish Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I'm going to do. And Brian's like, so you're not going to sleep tonight? And I'm like, nah, I think I'll be okay. And then he came in at 5.
It was a little after 4:30.
It was about 4:50 or so. 4:50,
because I got up for work.
And he goes, oh my god, you weren't kidding. I'm like, Brian, this show is blowing my fucking mind.
Yeah.
What's Big Mouth about?
Big Mouth is a cartoon.
By the way.
Big Mouth is a cartoon about kids going through puberty. It's got Nick Kroll and
Maya
Rudolph and Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
And they have all of their gross puberty thoughts.
Are
represented by these monsters that live with them and tell them horrible things and say awful, awful, terrible things.
Yeah. It's
like
hilarious.
But it's also a little too real.
No, it really is. You're like, that's fucked up. Oh, wait, no, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a little too real. Like, season 2 has this thing called The Shame Wizard, and it's all about, like, being feeling really guilty about your, like, body and your urges, and he like goes in specifically to make you feel shitty. But
sounds like being a teenager.
So okay, so that's key issues. That's being a comic book person.
I mean, I can talk comic books for ages, so we should probably.
You've got to go. You've got to go.
I got to go to work.
We have meetings.
And I have to go write a PowerPoint presentation. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you all. And
come see the Comic Book Hideout. If you can't come now in downtown Fullerton, come for our big party on November the 4th, Sunday, November the 4th. Come and hang out with us.
There's a
party.
Bounce house.
There's going to be a bounce house. There's going to be a huge sale. We're doing an art show. It's going to be really, really fun.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Like you guys.
Yay.
Aww.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Have a wonderful rest of your day.